My own personal testimony, I don't believe that I've really shared it in the church since I came. Maybe touched on it at the installation service, but that's a long time ago, nearly 5 years ago now. But I want to share a word of personal testimony. Somebody mentioned recently about relating what the Lord has done for me and sharing about His saving grace in my own life. And I thought tonight that we could give the Lord the glory and magnify His name, just share what He has done for this poor sinful wretch. I want to read a portion from the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Then a portion from the New Testament, Matthew 18. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And here we have Hannah's prayer. And verse 1 tells us, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall He thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and He shall give strength unto His king, and exalt the horn of His anointed." Then Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18. Read in verse 21. Matthew 18, verse 21. "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt." We'll end there. We know the Lord will bless these two portions of His own infallible word. Let's just join together and unite our hearts in prayer and ask the Lord that He would help us and make the remaining time a profitable one. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee tonight that we can stand here and share a word of testimony. We praise thee that we can relate personal testimony and tell of the wonderful saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that in the remaining moments of the meeting that the Savior would have all the glory. And we ask, Lord, even as we seek to exalt his name, magnify his name, as we seek to, as it were, pay tribute to him for what he has done, Lord, that you would come by your Spirit, and that even any in this meeting who are not in a right relationship with Christ, Lord, that they would even be drawn to him tonight. So help us, blessed Spirit of God, we pray, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 2 tells us there about Hannah's prayer. And she said that the Lord lifts the beggar from the dunghill and sets him among princes. And you know, as I stand here tonight and share a word of testimony, I can say that that's what the Lord has done for me. The Lord Jesus Christ has lifted me from the dunghill and has set me among princes. You know, as I share what Christ has done for me personally tonight, I'm just a beggar. And I want you friends to remember that. The person standing before you tonight is just a beggar. But he's a beggar telling other beggars how to get bread. Just one beggar telling other beggars where to get bread. And I want to tell you tonight that this poor beggar has found bread. He's found the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if your soul is hungry for the bread of life tonight, if your soul is thirsting for salvation tonight, I want to tell you tonight about the bread of life, and I want to tell you about the water of life. The Lord Jesus has given it to me, and he can give it to you. Yes, the Lord has lifted us from the dunghill and set us among princes. The Bible says that every Christian is seated in heavenly places with Christ. But then in Matthew chapter 18, I read those verses there. It tells us at the end of that portion that we read, verse 27, "Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." You know, that's my testimony tonight. The Lord Jesus, my Savior, he was moved with compassion toward me, and he's loosed me from the penalty of sin, loosed me from condemnation, loosed me from the judgment and the wrath of God that I tell you I deserve. But I'm loosed tonight. And I'm so glad to be able to stand here in this evening service on a cold, wet, wintry night at the beginning of February, and I'm glad to be able to say that I'm free. But then it goes on to say that this Lord forgave him the debt. You know, that's what the Savior has done for me. And I know that there are many, and I'm sure most in this service tonight, in this little evening service, this little gathering here tonight as we're met to worship the Lord, I'm sure that most of us can say the Lord did the same for us. The Lord has forgiven many of us the debt that we had. My, what grace, what compassion. If we were to think tonight about the great debt that we have, the debt of sins, the debt of a broken law. You know how many times we've sinned against a holy God. How many times we've rebelled against him down through the years of our lives, sinning from our first breath, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and the list just grows and gets longer and longer. My, it's a big debt. It's a mighty debt. My debt is big and it's long, and I couldn't pay. I had nothing to pay the debt. But I'm here tonight to tell and to proclaim that Jesus paid the debt. Jesus has paid my debt. I want tonight's testimony to be what I suppose you would call a 24-hour testimony. A 24-hour testimony. Just an up-to-date testimony. In a sense, what the Lord has done for me the last 24 hours. What the Lord has done for me in recent times. Not just focusing on years ago. You know, sometimes we focus and we share testimony about what happened years ago, but it's good to have an up-to-date testimony. It's good to have a testimony that's not stale. I wonder, do you have that kind of testimony tonight? Now, I'm not going to ask you to stand up where you are and share what the Lord has done for you in recent times, but I wonder if I was to do that, what would you say? Over the last week, the last month, the last year, could you say, I want to give thanks to God for what He did for me on such and such a time, on such and such a day. The Lord answered prayer. The Lord stepped in and the Lord answered prayer and He delivered me, and I've got an up-to-date testimony. I've got a 24-hour testimony. Well, I want that to be my testimony tonight. But of course, we do need to touch on the past. You know, I was born with a problem, a physical problem. I don't know whether you've heard of blue blood. Babies being born with blue blood, but I was born with blue blood. You always thought there was something odd about me. Blue blood. There was a problem with the blood at birth, and I had to stay in the hospital, the Royal Victoria Hospital, for some time until there was a blood transfusion, until the blue blood, the polluted blood, was taken from my body and the healthy blood was transfused. There was a problem at birth. But you know, I had a greater problem at birth. It wasn't the blood. It was my sinful heart. The psalmist in Psalm 51, he says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity." That word shapen means the growth of the baby in the womb. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The psalmist knew about his problem at birth, and I'm here tonight to tell you that I had a problem at birth. Yes, there was the physical problem, but there was a far greater problem. It was a spiritual problem. It was a problem that only the Lord could deal with. It was the problem of the heart, and I'm sure you've heard the old saying, you know, the heart of the problem is the problem of the heart, and that's really what that's the truth, isn't it? That's really what it all comes down to in spiritual things. The big issue is the heart, the state of the heart. And if our hearts have not been changed and regenerated by the grace of God, then, you know, we're not saved. We're not a Christian. And so I was born with that problem. But I thank God for His hand upon me, even in those first days of life, and how He kept me alive and preserved me and spared me. I'm thankful to the Lord for Christian parents, for parents who brought us to the house of God. They didn't just send us to the house of God, but they brought us there. They went along with us, and we were all sitting like little ducks in the pew. And there was seven of us, and Daddy and Mummy beside us. But what a privilege sit in the house of God. You know, really, I think it was 1975, the year I was born, so there, you know my age. But in the year 1975, my parents left the Presbyterian Church and moved to the Independent Methodist Church. So really, from my earliest days, all I know about church life is Independent Methodism. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for the ministry of the fellowship down through the years. I'm so thankful that I was able, week by week, to sit under the ministry of different Christian men, faithful preachers, men who loved the blood and the book, and they lifted up Christ and presented the message of the gospel faithfully. I'm thankful to men like Billy Cross, sat under his ministry while I was just a little child, just a young boy. And we used to love Billy for another reason, not just because he preached it straight down the line, but because he loved football. And when I was a wee lad, I loved football too. And boy, I remember in Five Mile Town High School, Herring chasing round the gym, chasing the ball round the gym, and boy, Billy was in the middle of it. He was in his element. You know, we've got bodies as well as souls. And sometimes I think that people forget that. And particularly when it comes to children. You know, sometimes the church forgets that little children have got bodies as well as souls. And, you know, the body needs some exercise as well as the soul. And boy, back in those days, we got the best of both worlds because we got the spiritual food and we got the physical exercise. I thank God not only for Mr. Cross, Billy Cross, but I thank God for Brother Ian Humphrey, who became the minister in Five Mile Town back in the early 1980s. I thank God for his ministry and for the encouragement down through the years. But you know, it wasn't until I was 14 that I was converted. And it actually wasn't in the Five Mile Town Church. It was a Sunday evening service in Dungannon. And Brother Robert Maxwell was the minister at that stage. I know that he had been here, but he had moved to Dungannon. He was the minister, but I can't remember. It may have been a harvest service. But the Reverend William Brown was the speaker that night. And the Lord began really to speak in that evening service. As a boy of 14, the Lord began to speak to me about my need of being born again. I was as religious as could be. Oh, I had learned the catechism. Sunday school teacher had faithfully drilled into us the catechism. And boy, I remember going to catechism exams and rhyming it off. But that's all it was. It was just rhyming it off. There was nothing in here. In here was as dead as could be. But in that evening service, the Lord began to speak through his servant and through the ministry of his word. And there was an appeal made at the end of that service. I responded. I remained behind to speak to Brother Maxwell. And the two of us knelt in prayer. And he led me to the Lord, to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Well, the devil knew that someone had left the broad road and had stepped onto the narrow road. And boy, if I didn't know there was a devil up to that point, I certainly knew from then on that the devil existed. Because the fiery darts started to fly. Boy, I was filled with doubts. And then after a certain length of time, temptation started to come. You know what it's like in your teenage years. We need to pray for teenagers in these days. I tell you, there's more temptation than ever. I'm talking to you about sort of the late 80s and the early 90s. That's when the devil came with temptation. And you know, as one old preacher said, we're made of flammable material. Boy, the devil just needs to hold out the temptation and boy, we explode. That's what we're like by nature. The enemy started to attack, and sad to say, the enemy tripped me up. And well, to cut a long story short, I ended up in Bypath Meadow and got away from God and got involved in sins that I ought never to have been involved in. Brought heartache to my parents, made life difficult for them, kicked against the pricks, rebelled, turned away from the Lord. Ended up a backslider. I believe that I was saved, that I was genuinely saved at 14. But it just goes to show how You can get away from the Lord. How easily it is that we're tripped up and that we fall into the snare of the devil. We need to pray for young people. We need to pray especially for young converts, people who are saved, children, young people who come to Christ. Boy, it's only the beginning. Sometimes churches think, oh, that boy got saved, that wee lassie got saved. Oh, that's the end of it. Move on to the next person. Not at all. We need to pray for them. We need to nurture them. I ended up a backslider. I wonder, is there anyone in the meeting tonight, anyone listening to the CD on the internet? You're a backslider too. Of course, sometimes there are people who think they're backsliders, but they've, as the old evangelist put it, they've never front slid. They've never been truly saved. But I ended up wandering away from the Lord. It was in the year 1996 that the Lord began to work upon me again, began to draw me back to Himself and to show me that my life needed to be sorted out. And I remember my younger brother being converted. And boy, we used to go out to the pub and the club on a Saturday night and we lapped it up. And really, our life revolved around this. We used to love the weekend. We couldn't wait to the weekend, boy. And you got out on a Saturday night, well, you were having a whale of a time. I never drunk that much. It wasn't the alcohol. I never liked the taste of the stuff. I always thought it tasted disgusting. So it wasn't drunkenness that was my problem. But there were other temptations and other issues. And you know, the devil, he had a grip of my life. But I remember at the end of a gospel mission in Five Mile Town, the very last night, my younger brother waited behind and he was converted. The boy that I ran about with. And you know, outwardly I was saying, well done, you did the right thing. But inwardly my heart was breaking because I thought to myself, what's going to happen next weekend? He's not going to be with me. And I persevered for a couple of weeks. Used to go out with two of my cousins, and they were still there, so the three of us, we headed back to the old haunts, the usual haunts, but I can honestly say that for those few weeks, I was miserable. But then I remember going to church one Sunday evening. It wasn't a special service, there wasn't a special testimony, there was no big fuss about it, just the normal Sunday evening service. But I remember Brother Humphrey faithfully preaching the word once again, and he said one thing from that message that I can never forget, I will never forget. He said that there are people in darkest Africa, people in far off lands, and they've never heard the gospel once, and if they did hear it once, they'd respond straight away. And there's people in this church tonight, he said, you've heard the gospel from childhood. You can't even count how many times you've heard it and you're not right with God. And those words reverberated around in my mind that night as I went home. Went in through the door, didn't really spend very long downstairs, just went upstairs, continued to think about what had been said by the Lord's servant. And I just remember the Lord giving grace. It just seemed to be that there was grace given from above. And I found myself on my knees in the bedroom that night and crying to the Lord, Lord, will you take me back? Lord, you've saved my brother and I can see the reality. I can see the change in his life. And Lord, I'm an even bigger fool because I was saved, but then I turned away from you. Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. The Lord would have been perfectly within his rights that night to have just slammed the door and said, no, you're too late. You've abused your privileges. You've trampled on your opportunity. But I'm glad that night that as soon as the prayer was prayed, The Lord answered that prayer. Just as we read in Matthew 18, the Lord forgave him the debt. Short time after that the Lord began to speak about going into, as we often say, full-time service, the phrase we often talk about, full-time service, although as Christians, every one of us are in full-time service in a sense. But the Lord began to speak about going into his work. I remember reading Ezekiel 33 in a prayer meeting one Thursday night. I remember the Lord speaking about the duty of the watchman, the responsibility of the watchman. I have set thee as a watchman, O son of man. And the Lord spoke about warning the people. And from that time on, I knew that God had a plan, that there was a work to do for him. I applied to the Bible college, was accepted, just left it in God's hands. I just said, Lord, if you want me in your work, you open up the door and make a way. And that's what he did. And the door was open to the college and spent 2 years there in the college. Went to Enniskillen for 2 years. Went down then to Belfast, of course, for nearly 7 years. And then finally arrived here. And you're stuck with me. I want to say a few words as we finish tonight about, well, maybe one or two incidents in Belfast and then one or two incidents since we've come here. I remember going through a particularly difficult period in Ballysillan. I don't know exactly what was the cause of it. Perhaps it was physical exhaustion, mental exhaustion, but I remember days whenever I didn't even want to go into the pulpit. I can remember Sundays coming, and I, as it were, said, Lord, two services today, how am I going to get through it? I remember going into the pulpit some Sundays, and I could hardly get the words out. I was stammering and stuttering all over the place. You would think I was a little child. And I remember going through a period like that, and remember not only that I found it so difficult when it came to teaching and speaking and preaching, but then I remember my sleep totally went to the dogs, and I couldn't sleep for, I think it was maybe 6 months, and I hardly closed an eyelid. And boy, when it came to nighttime, I was down in the dumps. Lord, another night, I'm not going to sleep tonight. And boy, I couldn't get over to sleep. I don't know what it was. But whenever I put the head on the pillow, sleep just disappeared. And now I, as far as I was concerned, I needed sleep. And I felt exhausted physically and mentally, but I just couldn't get to sleep. I remember going through a period of, as I say, about 6 months. Not being able to preach hardly. Not barely been able to sleep. But I'm here tonight with an up-to-date testimony to say that his grace was sufficient. My grace is sufficient for thee. During those 6 months, maybe even longer, the Lord carried me. As I say, I don't really understand all the ins and outs of it, why it happened. For the first 3 or 4 years in Ballysillan, things seemed to go fairly well. Didn't seem to be too much problem when it came to the pulpit. Didn't seem to be too much problem, really, when it came to sleep. But during those difficult days, those days of trial, the Lord's grace was sufficient. I don't know what the people in Ballysillan thought of me. Must have wondered what was going on. I was just a mess. Sometimes I think it was a nervous breakdown nearly. But in the midst of it all, the Good Shepherd had his hand upon me. In the midst of it all, he was carrying me, just like the poem, the little poem, Footprints. We've all seen it, footprints in the sand. Only one set of footprints, and you think you're walking alone. But it's at that time that the Lord Jesus, our blessed Savior, is carrying us. And that's what he was doing for me. I'm so privileged to be in this congregation, in new buildings. You know, more and more as time goes by, I thank God for you, dear people. As a family, we praise God. We thank God for your love, your support. And over the last nearly 5 years, there's been many a battle, hasn't there? There's been times when we've been down in the valley as individuals and as a congregation. But I remember when we mentioned about the Halloween. Remember that? And boy, I just said, well, we'll put this wee line in the paper about the petition against the Halloween carnival glorifying Satanism. I never expected anything to come of it. But then the Lord had other ideas. And the Lord put us in places and in radio programs and newspaper columns that we never imagined we'd be in. But the Lord, you know, the psalmist said, as for God, his way is perfect. Then I think of that whole issue over the earthquake, the Haiti earthquake. The twisting of the newspapers. And how the enemy wanted to do damage to the work of God. And he used the lies of newspaper editors. And you know, some people think that that boy Campbell, he went to the newspaper and he phoned them up and he said, oh, those people deserved it. Well, I want to set the record straight tonight. You probably know this already, but I'll just say it again. I didn't go to anyone. They came to me. I had no intention of saying anything to any of the newspapers. But my, it just goes to show that you've got to be on your guard against the enemy. You've got to be aware of his devices. You've got to depend on the Lord for wisdom. And whenever the enemy begins to lie and begins to twist your words, then again, you fall back on the grace of God. The grace of God. I often think of Joseph. Whenever Joseph went down into Egypt, you know, the Bible says, and the Bible records the words of Joseph, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You know, the Lord's grace has been sufficient. The Lord has been so good. The Lord has helped us up until this present day. I will never cease to be amazed that he would take someone so sinful and shower the riches of his grace upon them. Even give them the privilege of serving him, of speaking for him, of teaching the word of God. My, what a privilege. If you had told me when I was younger, oh, you're going to end up in a church as a minister someday, I would have said, go away and catch yourself on. But then the Bible says that God's ways are not our ways. I actually planned, speaking a few minutes ago about newspapers, I planned to work in a newspaper. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a newspaper reporter. Sports reporter. Oh, if I could just go to all the football matches and I'll just send in the reports. Boy, I would have been happy. I had all these romantic ideas about what I was going to be. But then the Lord said, no, I have other plans for you. You know, as I look back on the saving grace of God and how he has kept me and been patient with me down through the years, and whenever I've fallen into the traps of the enemy and made mistakes and made a mess, I praise him tonight that he was there to pick me up. That he didn't throw away the clay. That he didn't discard me just because I'd made a mess of things. I'm so glad that he was patient and tender and kind. And day by day, his hand has been upon me. And he has brought me by his grace to this present hour. Robert Murray McShane wrote a great hymn, and with the words of this hymn I finish. When this passing world is done, when has sunk yon radiant sun, when I stand with Christ on high, looking o'er life's history, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. When I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in the Savior's side, by the Spirit sanctified. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show, by my love, how much I owe. Oft I walk beneath a cloud, dark as midnight's gloomy shroud. But when fear is at its height, Jesus comes and all is light. Blessed Jesus, bid me show, doubting saints, how much I owe. When the praise of heaven I hear, loud as thunders to the ear, loud as many waters' noise, sweet as harp's melodious voice, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much I owe. Let's pray.